I'm sorry, I have to get all the technology together here. It's kind of strange talking into one of these things. I feel like that thing on, some of you remember the old TV show Mission Impossible, where they started out every show with a little tape recording, and then the tape recording would disintegrate after the assignment was done. So the last time I didn't do this correctly, and so therefore I promised your good father Fred that I was going to hold it very close and make sure that it was right there. So I'll try to do my best for you. I was watching on the news on Saturday morning and on Friday as well, and it was very startling. Normally, after Thanksgiving, my wife Jane and I, we just go home, and we try to avoid the stores at all costs on Fridays. And apparently it was very good for us to avoid the stores this past Friday. The story started coming in on the news about the things that were happening out in the stores. I heard that in one place there was a brawl that was started over $2 waffle irons. Now, waffles aren't bad, but I'm not sure I'd get to brawling over a $2 waffle iron. But there was, they actually showed film of it, apparently through the security thing, and all these the women and a few brave men who got in there were grabbing these boxes, and I think sometimes out of each other's hands as well, and for a $2 waffle iron, and you could see bodies flying. It sort of looked like, for those of you who watch the World Wrestling, it sort of looked like one of those gigantic cage matches where everybody was flying off the top rope and getting in there and doing business. And then I heard that a lady had another store had a secret. She wanted to get something, and so her secret was to bring in a bottle of pepper spray. For those of you who don't know what pepper spray is what the police use. You can buy it for yourself in some states, but it's what the police use if there's a crowd. It's a non-lethal way of getting everybody to back off. It burns. She wanted something so bad that she brought a bottle of pepper spray in with her for the sale. And so when people were coming up on the thing that she wanted, apparently 20 people were injured. She turned around and she pepper sprayed all of them as they came. And the crowd fell back, and apparently she got what she wanted. I don't know if she got away with it or what happened to her. We didn't leave it with, I don't know the rest of the story, but apparently that's what she did. So 20 people were injured in a store. And then on Facebook, one of the parishioners at St. George, that would be the other St. George north of here, she talked about how her sister was in the store, and somebody swung a box at her and gave her a cut on her face, apparently. So she got a cut open on her face, and a little blood came out while she was going through the shopping for Black Friday. And finally, I heard in one store that a person actually died in the store, and all the shoppers just went around the person. They sort of stepped over him as he was laying there. I don't know if he was dying or had died at this point, but that was also in the news, that one store, a shopper had died, and people were crawling all over him. It's kind of like, oh, get out of the way, I got things to do. And so it must have been an amazing sight. I, however, was thankfully at home and asleep for most of this, so I avoided the carnage. Besides, I don't want to go to the store ever, having to wear my football gear just to protect myself. It's just something I can't do. And it's a strange tradition, isn't it, when you think about it, to do that. That all of a sudden, it's like after Thanksgiving, all that pent-up energy to consume has been to be released, and people line up and they push and they shove and they trample and they swing at each other and they pepper spray and they do all these kinds of things. I think it doesn't seem so much in the line of the spirit of the holiday, does it? Get out of my way, I got to get that toy. What I'm going to say today is going to be just for some of you. Maybe, I don't know which ones. So some of you will think that I'm absolutely being nuts. And some of you will think, oh my goodness, that's a really good idea. And so if you think I'm being nuts, go ahead and just disregard. I won't be long, but listen for a few minutes if you could, because there might be something valuable to be said. I was thinking about something. Did you know, this is especially for the kids, did you know that Christmas Day, Nativity, is the only birthday that's celebrated where we give ourselves the present? Did you think about that? Wouldn't that be interesting if, say, I came to your house on your birthday and I said to you, hey, happy birthday, what did you buy me? I bought something for myself, see, isn't this great? It's a present for your birthday. It's a brand new bike. And you kind of look at me funny, wouldn't you? You go, well, it's my birthday. I said, yeah, but I bought the present for me. It's a bike. It's beautiful. Aren't you happy for me? Well, it's kind of my birthday. I thought you might bring, you know, something for me. It'd be kind of strange, wouldn't it? But we do that all the time in Christmas, don't we? We're celebrating the birth of Christ, and what do? We buy the presents for ourselves. You know, nothing says the birth of Christ like a brand new Lexus with a bow on it in your driveway. Oh, my. We do that. I had a thought, and my wife and I, we've had it for some time. We've talked about this. What happens, and this is just for some of you, what happens if this Christmas you decide to turn the tables? See, when I was a kid, especially, we didn't have the big malls or anything like that, but we did have the JCPenney catalog. And those folks from JCPenney, you know what they did? They put all the toys in color. The rest of the catalog was all in that kind of yellow catalog color. But for Christmas, everything, all the toys were in beautiful living color. And they wanted us all to start pestering our parents, right? That was the whole idea. Oh, this looks so good. In my time, it was having a Green Bay Packer helmet. I grew up in Wisconsin. And so we would pester our folks. We'd say, oh, I want this. And you see that in the stores. When you walk around, you'll see that, right? People pestering. Oh, Mom, Dad, this would be great. And if we get a little older, we throw some subtle hints out there too, don't we? You don't have to be a kid if we're doing that. What happens if we turn the tables this nativity season? What happens if some of you decided that I'm going to take my list for Christmas and I'm going to write down everything I want for Christmas and then I'm going to cut it in half. And I'm going to take that top half and say, you know what? The value of all these gifts that I would have gotten in the top half or the bottom half, it doesn't make a difference. Mom, Dad, friends, I don't want those. If you can, take the money that you would have spent on that half of my gifts and give it to charity. I'm sure the church here supports charities. I'm sure there's charities right here in Cedar Rapids, people who are hungry, people who are needy. Maybe some of you kids can say, you know what? I really, really like that toy, but you know what? Mom, Dad, put that in the Toys for Tots box. Now I see people that are staring at me kind of funny. Because I understand, it's all about the getting, isn't it? The pressure is on. There's all kinds of advertisements on TV and sales and all this, and they want you to buy and buy and buy and buy and buy. And people count. I knew that because I used to count to see how many presents I would get versus my brothers. So my mom had to balance the boxes out, poor mom. That's why I take her out for dinner a lot now. I owe her some. I know the pressure is on. But what happens if you say in your heart, you know, this is different this Christmas. I'm not going to be one of those people with pepper spray and crowding into the stores and wanting to buy and buy and buy. I know whose birthday is coming up. whose birthday we're going to celebrate. And he said in the Gospels, as much as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. And so instead of asking for all kinds of things underneath the tree, I'm going to take that money and that time and that effort that was used to get all those things, and I'm going to give it to someone. I'm going to find someone who has need. I'm going to find someone who's hungry. I'm going to find someone who doesn't have enough clothes. I'm going to find somebody who's struggling. And instead of taking this time, I'm going to give. Because I know that when I give, I'm actually giving to Jesus. That's what he said, didn't he? As much as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it for me. Imagine. Imagine what Christmas would be like. Would you have less presents under the tree? The answer is yes. You would have less presents under the tree. But you would have something else that's way more important. Number one, you'd have an understanding of what this holiday season that's coming upon us is all about. It isn't in the getting, it's in the giving. Because we have Christ as our model. Christ, the one who gave everything for us. The second thing you'd have is, it might be a little bit hard, but then you'd realize there would be a feeling inside of you. You'd say, wow, I did something good for somebody. And believe me, doing something good for somebody, especially anonymously, is wonderful. Those things that you do as a church, those charities that you support, the food that you bring, all those kinds of things, you'll never see those things, probably in this life, what they mean. But there's somebody out there who on Christmas morning is going to have some food or some gifts or something that they didn't have before. They'll know that there's somebody outside of their family, outside of their friends, who loves and cares about them. And you get the warm feeling. Yeah, you don't have so many packages. But guess what happens to everything you buy for Christmas anyways? Eventually the batteries wear out. Right? And that thing you got, it gets superseded, doesn't it? Something new comes along. And by next Christmas, you'll be asking for the model next for it. Don't put so much stock in that. You'll have that good feeling that comes. Are you still with me? I think some people are kind of going, yeah, he's crazy. The last thing is you'll have your Christmas presents where they really count. Jesus told his followers, he said, don't lay up your treasures here on earth. Don't fill yourself with the things that you can acquire on this earth. Lay up your treasures in heaven, didn't he? So in a certain way, those Christmas presents that you forego, the ones you say, you know, there's some other kid who's less fortunate than I am. There's some other person I want to give to them. You know where those presents go? They go to the Lord, and guess where they... You'll get them eventually. You might have to wait a little while. Hopefully God will grant you many years, but you'll get them. You'll get them glorified. You'll get them made new. You'll get them holy. That's what Jesus told us, right? Lay up our treasures in heaven. Why? Because in heaven they're kept. They're kept safe and secure. No one's going to take them away from us ever. That's a challenge, isn't it? See, that's what the man in this gospel, he had trouble with, didn't he? He did all the religious things, but Jesus knew the one thing he was holding back. His heart wasn't ready to give. He had so much. And we don't know what happened to him. I hope somewhere along the line he changed his mind. Maybe 20 feet later he was walking away and said, okay, Jesus. We don't know. The world out there is going to be telling you, eat, consume, buy, go to the store and block somebody who is trying to get your toaster. It's going to tell you, take. Because the world doesn't understand what Jesus was all about. They only understand the sound of the cash register. But we know different. This Christmas time, while everybody's thinking about all these things, think about who you can give to. Think about who you can help. Think about who you can bless with a gift of food or money or just a plain gift. Think about the poor. Think about the lonely. Think about the broken. Think about the folks who are struggling and say, Jesus, because you loved me so much, because you gave the greatest gift of all, yourself, to all of us. When it comes time to celebrate your incarnation, your arrival, I'm not going to think so much about what I can get, but I'm going to give. Because you gave to me. I'm going to love because you love me. I'm going to help because you've helped me. When that happens, then you'll know what Christmas is truly all about. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Roger, Wilco, we're out.